Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for people who stab ground cloth.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to be the one with trouble talking today.
Yeah, I know. That was just what I was going through my mind, is I can't get out twice weekly clean, and I'm the one that's healthy. What's that deal?
I feel better now.
Yeah, see? There you go. That, I did it because it was a confidence booster for you.
Oh, so generous.
It wasn't intentional. So Christine, giving a run at it here. Getting a little better, I guess.
Yes, it's been a little touch and go. I've been stopping and starting things, but we're gonna give this a run. See how it goes. So I'm a little stuttery, so I apologize for that. But thoughts are coming a little clearer now, and yeah. So I was talking to Gary before we started, and I had said that normally, and actually that's how the whole podcast, this podcast, got started, was when we used to do our old podcast. It came up that whenever we were recording, I was always doing some kind of knitting or something else just to keep my hands busy while we were talking. And that's what I always do with this too. I'm always doing some kind of, you know, stitching or knitting or something while we're talking, because it actually helps me focus to do so. And now I can't do anything. I have to sit here and look at the wall. If I try to stitch, I actually forget I'm talking. and then, yeah, that's not conducive to recording. So I have to do one thing at a time. I've become a what is it? What's the opposite of a multitasker? A unitasker?
A monotasker? I don't know.
Monotasker. Yes, that's it. I'm a monotasker. I can only do one thing at a time, which for a mother is like impossible.
You're not even in the league now.
No. So I'm sitting here looking at my stitching, but I can't do it. So that's that.
Well, but you are making progress. So
yes, definitely.
Like you said, you have those little flashes where you feel normal, and
mm-hmm. And then I get tired or something else happens. But we're getting there. Little bits of progress every day. And I'm finding ways to get around things. You know, like I said too, you know, finding sort of brain crutches, ways to either fake it or get around things, little memory aids. And I write everything down and things like that. So just finding ways to get through the things that I need to do until everything gets back to normal, which it should.
Yep, it will.
See any reason it won't, but
time.
Just trying to be patient.
Time for brain cells to heal. Yep.
I know.
And nerves are, the slowest thing on the planet to heal. So, yep.
They are, but they are plastic. So.
Yep. You'll get there.
Yeah.
So. Last we talked, I had ordered tulip needles from Hancock's of Paducah. And it appeared when I ordered them that they were in stock. Silly me to believe that, because Mary Corbett was involved.
Ah! So did everyone buy them out as
right.
soon as she put her post up?
I got back ordered, yeah. So... it was only a couple days though, so I was impressed with that, because I figured I was waiting on a ship from Japan, you know, with new needles. And no, it was just a couple days, and then they shipped. But then, you know how when you really want to see something, you really want to get something that's being mailed to you or shipped. You know, it just seems to take forever. And then they sent it with the post office, which of course doubles the time. I mean, from Kentucky to Chicago is, you know, I could drive down there and pick them up, for crying out loud, in a day. And they got to a place 20 miles from where I live yesterday morning. And they're supposed to be here today by 8 o'clock. It's like, come on. But you know, that's shipping the way it is. So
Yeah.
I have not been able to play with my tulip needles, and it frustrates me.
Ah. So when we were talking last, after we finished, I had sort of jumped on the internet and looked to see where else you could find the needles. And one of the places I checked was eBay, just to see, you know, because oftentimes you can find things there. And I was actually surprised to find quite a few listings for the tulip needles. And they were, you know, they were comparable in price and everything. And I clicked on them like, this is very exciting. You know, it's good shipping and everything. And where are they shipping from? The same place,
Or are they?
Kentucky. Yeah. They were just the same shop as listing them on eBay. So
Okay.
that wasn't a workaround at all. It's
Yeah.
kind of funny.
So, sometime later today, and this is Tuesday. It is Tuesday, yes. I'll have needles to stitch with tonight to see if I like them. So, next week, we'll see. And of course, I mean, it's ridiculous that I'm focusing on little pieces of metal, but I'm
Why is
curious.
that ridiculous?
Well, I'm just curious to see if there's truly a difference. So,
I think that, you know, having a tool that works for you and a tool that works exceptionally well is a great thing. You know, so I've done this for many years also, doing the, you know, work with the cheapest tool, and then you finally, you know, for whatever reason, get the right tool,
yep.
and all of a sudden your life changes because you say, oh, that's why it's so easy for everyone else.
Yeah, and yeah, and why didn't I?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Why didn't I? Or, oh, now I understand why this person is able to achieve this result.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, a small example. Last night, now I'm been working on this sampler, and so I'm using a 28 Bowen needle, and because of my new focus on tulip needles, I looked at the Bowen needle I'd been using, and yeah, it was time for a new needle. I didn't even, you know, and so, and of course, it's ridiculous because sitting right there on my table is a vial full of size 28 needles. I mean, it's not like I don't have one, and so I got a new one out. And what am I doing? You know, I just it started sliding through the cloth easier, and it's like, what an idiot! I know better, you know. So, change the
You know,
needle, yeah.
because I think it creeps up on you, because it's not an immediate thing like a sewing machine needle where it just snaps.
Yeah,
This is a
yeah.
slow erosion of the coating, so it's not, you know, unless you look at it, you're not going to pay attention to it, and it's not like a car where you've got an odometer that tells you that you're supposed to change your oil. It's
Right.
just a very slow thing, and then you change the needle and then immediately say, "Oh, yes, that old needle was bad."
Well, yeah, that's what I did. I held the new one against the old one under the magnifier, and it's like, this thing's a wreck. What am I using it for? So, yeah, it's in the trash now. Yep. Yeah. And
Very good.
another thing I've learned about size 28 needles, don't drop them in the carpet. Jeez, what a pain to find. Oh, man. And I have a magnet, you know, so I get down on my hands and knees with a magnet, hoping to just pass over it. But what a pain in the butt. Yeah. Don't drop them. Yep.
I
So,
have been known to do that
yeah.
with pins, but needles, you know, you're invested in finding pins, not so much, and then someone else usually finds them, and that's not a pleasant conversation.
Yeah, no. No, it's not. Because you have no defense.
No, none, none.
No. Yep. Yep. So that's my tulip needle report right there. So Hancock's of Paducah is the sole provider in the
Evidently.
country then. Okay. And I'm sure initially they wondered, why are we selling so many of these things? And then,
Right?
yeah.
Mary Corbett, force of nature.
Yes, that's right. And speaking of her, yes, I have started the sampler alphabet. Well, I haven't really started it. Okay, I traced in pencil, because I have my little light table thing, light pad, whatever. I traced in pencil, and so now what I'm doing on the side is just practicing because this is the first time I've stitched through linen and muslin as a backing.
Very nice. And so this is the first surface embroidery, is it?
No, I've done it just on linen, but it was a long time ago, like ages ago. But I've never done it with a backing material, and certainly never done it with floche, which I've only stitched on canvas with. So I'm just doing it on the side just to see, you know, just to kind of get a feel for what it's like to go through two layers of cloth and how all of it behaves together before I actually start on the letter. So, and you know, it's just practice. So it's fine, but it's just practice so that when I actually stitch something, it might actually look like the stitch it's supposed to be, is what I'm hoping for.
I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah. So, but anyway, they got the tracing, the pencil tracing. Might have gone a little heavy on the pencils, so next time I'll learn to lighten the load on that. But that was no big deal. Tape down the pattern, and then tape down the linen over the top. Used painter's tape, and everything stayed where it was supposed to, and it traced. So, step one, you know. I mean, I'm picking away at this thing, but I'm also, when in the evening, I'm still stitching on my sampler because I'm hooked on that. So, yep. But, I think tonight we might start in earnest. We'll see. It's an experience. It's fun. And, you know, I just keep in my head is you talking. You know, it's just, if it gets screwed up, so what? Thread and cloth. Who cares? So.
Exactly. Just rip it out and do it again.
But I have to convince myself. So you don't have to convince yourself. I have to convince myself. So I keep running that through my head. Christine says, just do it. It'll be okay.
Right. And the thing is, so did you trace out the entire alphabet?
Oh, no, just one letter. Just one. It's
just
like
one
3
letter.
Inches tall.
Okay, so, yeah. It's one letter.
Yeah.
Nobody else ever has to see it.
Right. But that's not how I'm wired. So it's
I know.
No, it's just one 3-inch letter, and it's a C. So, you know, it's just a C. I mean, there's nothing fancy to it. But
and what stitch is it?
Well, it's a variety. There's flower clusters in two spots that you're supposed to start with.
Oh, okay, right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Right.
So you put down three or four French knots to as spots where the actual lazy daisy flowers are going to go. And then you stitch those and leaves around them, and you do these two flower clusters, one near the top and one near the bottom of the C. Mm-hmm. And then you come back with, I think it's stem stitch, and fill in, and then she's got some other things that go spring off the sides. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not complicated at all, and it's all of 3 inches tall, so it's, you know, we're not dealing with massive amounts, but nice diversion, fun. It'll come out. I'll show it. I'm gonna do the Christine thing, no matter good or bad. I'm showing it. So
that's it. And you know what? Do it. This is what I would say, because you're you, I would say do it in, do you have lots of colors of the floche?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Colors? Okay. So I would say do it in a colorway that isn't your favorite to start, because the first one, you being you, you're going to say, this isn't my best work. I don't like it. And then you're going to do it again. And then do the second one in the colorway that you really like, because that way you'll sort of worked out the bugs of the method, and you'll see, okay, this worked, this didn't work. And then the second way, you'll have you can do it again, and it'll be interesting to your eyes because it'll be different colors. But you'll have the experience of having it done the first time, and then you'll be able to show the second one and keep it.
Okay, that's a fun approach. So I could just do a hideous combination of colors and okay, that's a fun approach. I'm game. Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. Because this one, you know, and I know, and we all know that you're never going to show anybody, right?
Yep.
Or you'll show, and then you'll tuck it away in a corner somewhere, and you're not going to do anything with it. So, just make it anything, because it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Or try color combination that you think won't work or that you think might work. This is the time to try it and then say, all right, yeah, that was a terrible idea. Or, hey, you know what? I thought that might work and it turns out it did, but I wasn't sure. So you have nothing to lose on this one. So this is the time to stretch and do something crazy.
Okay, so this is my first waffle in the iron then. Yeah.
Yeah, this
Okay.
is that's exactly how you think of it.
Okay.
That's a perfect analogy.
Good thing this is recorded. I'm gonna play this in my head as I'm doing it.
That's right.
Because
First waffle in
it's a
the iron.
huge leap for me. It's a
I
huge
love
leap.
that. But that's exactly what it is. That's a great way to think of it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not like needlepoint where, you know, you have a canvas, you have it all set, or like a painted canvas where this is the thing you're gonna do. You know, with that you can put in a stitch and you can take it out. This, it's a piece of canvas. It's, you know, the materials are, you know, small. It's a piece of linen, it's not even canvas. You don't like it, 3 inches of stuff, you throw it away.
Yep.
Move on.
Okay. All right. This is recorded. It will be played.
You could stitch the same letter C 15 times differently.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, that's why I started with the C, because there's no complexity to the shape. So, yep. All right.
Very
Well,
exciting.
there we have it. There we have it. Yes. Another step. And I keep going back to the sampler. That the samplers, it's a weird dynamic. 'Cause I mean, I've done samplers before, but I've not done one of this size or a reproduction sampler. But I mean, I've done little samplers, with just a few letters and just that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, my first exposure to linen was ages ago. And I did a cross stitch sampler on linen, and the challenge was to stitch on linen, and still have it. I mean, I was pleased with it then. I'm pleased with it now. It's framed, and that was in 89. I think that's the date on it, 89. So, a while ago, and so it's this, but this reproduction sampler is just there's that extra dimension of this little girl doing this thing. And it's so fun to just these little motifs to complete them. And then I've taken Nicola's advice, where when I started, I just pounded my way through the alphabet bands across the top. I mean, just bang, bang, bang till I got them done. And then on some show, Nicola, I asked her about that, doesn't that get boring? And then she said, well, don't do them all. Don't do the entire alphabet. Do different things and work your way across the cloth. So that's what I've done. And it really now is a lot more fun. Because I'll just, all right, today I'm going to do the flower. And then here there's a couple leaves over here I'll do. And now there's a single line of X's that in an off-white that goes underneath this series of trees and some kind of a. Looks like a lion of some kind that go all the way across. So I just, for something mindless last night, I just started stitching a row of X's. And now I found a way that it takes any tedium right out of it. You just, oh, this is getting boring. I'll go over here and do this one. And it's going to be nice. I'm getting excited about it now. And now I'm approaching halfway. And once to me there are a couple points halfway, and then when you're about 80-85% done, that's the big drive. All right, I can see the end. But now I'm almost halfway. It's like, all right, I got to get over this hump and pound my way through. So yeah,
That
enjoying
sounds
it.
good.
Yep, enjoying it. Yep. A cool thing, Saren. I follow a bunch of blogs. So there's one, Serendipitous Stitching. And the lady who owns the blog is Jo, and she says I don't know her last name, doesn't have it anywhere, lives in the East End of England. And I follow her on my news feed, and she's a pretty faithful blogger. She shows up. But what she'll do from time to time, particularly around holidays, is what she calls a blog hop. And for Easter, she set up a blog hop. I think she said it was the biggest one she'd done. And so what she does is she lines up a bunch of bloggers and assigns a letter to each one. And of course, you make your way through the hops. You know, it's a bar hop without getting drunk, basically. And as you make your way through, each one has a post about the blog hop, and you get a letter. And then when you get done going all the way through, then you have a saying of some kind, a phrase, a saying. I don't know what it is, because I haven't done all of them yet. I've done more than half of them, but you know, it's April something. I forget now. But so there's, and then you end up back at Joe's Serendipitous Stitching blog. And then you post the saying, and then you're eligible for some kind of a drawing of some kind. But you know, all that is just you know, whatever to me. What has been fun for me in so far, in that and there's a whole string of them. I mean, there's a lot of blogs, and the reason I haven't gotten done is because I keep getting hung up reading posts in all these blogs. It's not like I just fire through and collect the letters and get done. I have to read, and then, you know, older posts. And so I read one more, and then one more.
Isn't that the point, though?
Huh?
Isn't that the point, though?
Yeah, yeah. So it's taken me a while. But, and each of them was required as part of this to, in their post, to put up pictures of spring and or Easter stitching that they've done. And that's where you get hung up, because you get to see all these different things that people have done, different ways they've finished them, and read about each, you know, because they all take time to write things out. And so it's just been great fun making the way my way through these blogs. And then, yeah, and then I keep digging deeper and deeper into them, and realize, okay, that's 15 minutes ago I started this. I need to actually move on. But yeah, it's really a great idea. And I want to say, does she have 20 blogs, maybe more in the list? I mean, it's a long list of blogs. And, of course, then, you know, and in doing so, you pick up, you learn about other stitchers in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And, it's really a neat idea. So, and, you know, as I'll put a link for it, but it's Serendipitous Stitching is her blog, Joe. And she's worth following anyway. I enjoy her. But yeah, these are things. One lady had, her letter was T. And I read the article, but I was just skimming it, really, because I was just looking at pictures. And where's the letter? You know, I need the letter so I can move on to the next one. Well, she had done a picture and put the letter in the picture.
Nice.
And did not make it real obvious. And so that was, it was fun, you know. It was just, yeah, okay, all right, little extra element here. And so that was, yeah, it's just a fun idea. And it's the first time, I mean, I've seen Joe do these, and I've never taken time to go through the blog hop, because it does take time. But this time I did, and now when she comes up, I'm sure she does one at Christmas. I'll be all over it. So yeah. Good idea. Just a way to connect people. You know, it's just another way to connect people. Really great thinking. So.
Excellent.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe, for that. So, yeah, so that's fun. And then I tripped over this in the, you know, Mary Corbett again. Mary Corbett appears again. She has a Facebook community called Needle and Thread, just like her website. That you should, if you're at all interested in stitching of any kind, you should go on Facebook and search that and join it, because it's very active, as you can imagine. And Mary Corbett followers, there's a lot of them, and very active. And but this morning, Kim Salazar posted a link to a new, or relatively new, font that was developed by Kosuke Takahashi. And the point of the font is that it combines regular English letters and Braille, the dots for Braille. And so this Kosuke has devised this typeface, and then at junctures in each of the letters you have a dot, and then those dots form that letter in Braille. And so I thought, well, that's kind of neat just in itself, and especially as an editor, you know, I find any of that stuff interesting. But then Kim Salazar suggesting that you could stitch these letters and then use beads or French knots for the dots, and and have a stitched piece that a Braille person could read, which I thought was an interesting twist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they're, I mean, they're just simple letters. There's nothing, as you can imagine, they're just simple block letters. But, yeah, that was kind of a neat idea. So I'll put a link to that. I was trying to think, you know, if you were stitching something for someone in Braille, you know, it'd be interesting, you know, to talk to someone who's blind, because it, you know, it's the old, if you lose one of your senses, the others amplify considerably to compensate. So I wonder if a person who's blind and was handed a stitched thing, you know, I would think by running their hands over and feeling the stitching that they would be able to derive, and getting a little help, derive some kind of a mental image, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. And certainly if it had a saying and you did it in this font, then they could read that.
Yeah. It sort of goes against everything we would normally think about stitching, because the last thing you would want is somebody touching your work, right?
Right, right, exactly, yeah.
But that said, that's a pretty interesting idea, that you would create something. You would almost, if you were going to create a piece to be touched instead of seen, or touched and seen, you would go about creating it completely differently, wouldn't you? Because, so aside from the Braille part, so the Braille part is interesting, but think about this. So if you even close your eyes and think about a piece you're working on and what it would feel like, and then think about if you were going to design a piece for somebody to touch, how you would do it. So like a painted canvas, instead of choosing colors, you would choose stitches, or you would choose fibers based on what they would feel like, right? So you tell the story through the texture. That's kind of a really interesting way to think about it, isn't it?
Right. Well, that's what got me intrigued, yes. Because, and especially today, with there's so many different fibers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, satin stitch becomes one thing if it's done in silk, and a completely different thing if it's done in wool. But if you, you know, the Krynek metallics, think about that.
Yeah.
If you
I didn't even think of those. Oh, think about that.
Right. It's metallic to us visually, but to touch, it becomes, you know, it's not metallic anymore. Now it's a texture that you can get that way. Right. And the stitches you would choose, you know, it would be less about doing things like, you know, Jessica's and stuff like that, but more of these, like a Walnetto or something that would be raised, like Smyrna crosses, things that would, you know, bulge out, using heavier fibers like that, so that you would make, you would basically tell a story that way.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because any of the braids would really lend themselves to that, because you could create like raised areas that way, but you know, you could create lines through the piece, you know, dots, obviously, any kind of textured stitch becomes something interesting now, instead of just visually, it becomes something different. So you could delineate different parts of the piece by just changing the stitch.
Right.
Right. So I'm kind of visualizing this. I'm imagining it, you know, especially on a painted canvas. because that's where you'd have to change the texture of the stitch in order to paint the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or you change the fiber.
This is really, you got my wheels spinning now. Yeah, because you really think about, okay, how could I tell a story just through touch?
Yeah. Or think about doing a floral piece just using ribbon embroidery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be, to the touch, would be really interesting. Or it would be a blurry, hot mess. I don't know. Right?
Yeah.
It might feel either really interesting or just a disaster. I don't know. But it's certainly interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Okay, so there we have it. Yeah. Now it makes me... See, I've always been... this isn't going to come out right, but I'm just going for it. I've always been intrigued by blind people in that whole process. And the reason why is when I was young, kid, you know, maybe 12, 10, 11, 12, something like that, I read a book and it has stuck with me. It's one of those... You know, it's one of those childhood things that never leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a book about a boy who went blind. I forget what the accident was, but went blind. And then it was the story of how he learned to walk on his own, read, and all those things. And then, you know, what he was experiencing now that he's lost his sight. And... The whole process of that just really fascinated me. In addition to, you know, what was happening to someone who was, for all intents and purposes, my age, and what it would be like to go mm-hmm. through something like that. But the process was spelled out of learning how, and it gave me lifelong empathy for blind people. But then. Also knowledge that once they, that other than, you know, obviously the trauma of losing your sight, they're really okay. You know, they can get through life mm-hmm. okay and enjoy life. And then you see people like Stevie Wonder who, you know, has made an entire amazing career.
Yeah.
As if in blindness, you know, really hasn't, I like I said, it's not going to come out right, but you know, to say blindness hasn't mattered. I mean, just incredible career, and so that book has always stuck with me. Behind all that is some real sadness, but then again, they're okay. You know, once they learn can we do that for stitching? Can we give them another mm-hmm. sensory thing through stitching? Yeah.
Well, and another thing, yeah, that is true, but it's not unprecedented in a way to think about the texture of what you're making, because clothing is like that. When you make something in clothing, you tend to, when you're handcrafting clothing, it's usually knitting, right? That is partially about what it looks like, but it's very much about what it feels like.
Yes.
Partially because you're wearing it, but also, you know, just what it feels like to the touch. So when you're knitting in cables or when you crochet in little dots, and I'm not going to remember the name of it, but basically raised areas, and you do, you know, knitted pattern stitches and all those things. Part of it is to create texture, to create something that feels nice, right?
Right.
And you choose the yarns and your fibers, again, based on what they feel like. So really what we're doing here is we're doing the same thing. We're creating, we're adding that element of the sense of touch to the work. We're adding that back in, right? So it's not just an ornamental piece. Now it has to not only look nice, but it has to feel nice as well.
Yeah.
So it is very interesting. It adds a completely different element to it. It's almost like, do you ever see when they show how birds or bees see flowers, because they have different receptors in their eyes and they can see UV and they don't see the same colors? It's almost like that, right?
Yeah.
You're looking at your piece from a completely different sensory standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
This
some things
what
that
this
we
yeah.
visually would be beautiful, you know, what's the word? To your hands would be boring, and then other things that you know, could be all black, frankly, then in texture would be, you know, very exciting.
Yes. Yeah, it makes me want to run downstairs and pull out a piece of finished needlepoint, close my eyes, and just run my fingers over it and see what happens to me. Yeah.
Right. And then the idea of stitching something in all one color, well, I mean, you know, there is such a precedent,
right?
White work. You know, that's all texture, but doing a piece that's all black and then just doing it in different, you know, even just the different Krynex and then, you know, neon rays and things like that, you know, doing something like, you know, any of the sort of graphic pieces, and instead of changing colors, changing fibers, and then doing it all one color. How neat would that be?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That would be really cool.
All right. This is worth exploring a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Might be weird. Might be really weird.
Yeah. And of course, we can only partially experience it because our sense of touch is not near what a blind person would have. So.
Well, I think we're not tuned to it as keenly. You
right.
know, we don't use it the same way.
Right. So, aha. Okay. All right. This is fun to think about.
Yeah, yep. I'm fascinated with the idea of doing a piece that's monochrome, but just changes texture now. So
mm-hmm.
reinterpreting a piece that's done in all different colors, but doing it in different textures. That's very interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Now see, okay,
cool.
And sitting here recording right in front of my face, because I record at the end of our bed in our bedroom, is a Debbie Rowley pillow. With all
mm-hmm.
those textures. So when we're done here, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab that pillow and I'm going to run my hands over it with my eyes closed and see what I feel.
Yeah.
Because there's several different threads, different stitches. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm sure somebody else has gone through this mental process before, but we haven't. So, hey. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. All right. I think we better call it here. For the sake of your brain.
Thank you.
let's call it. Debbie Rowley, Sunday. Debbie Rowley returns to us on Sunday to talk about whatever. Yes. Yeah, you said you were going to start a Debbie Rowley piece.
I have. I have indeed started it.
So there we go. So we'll talk to her about that.
Yes.
So that's Sunday. That's it for now. Christine needs to go close her eyes and heal her brain some more, and we'll be back Sunday with Debbie and back next Wednesday with more of this. Thanks.
Take care.